When the new Congress comes in, there will be a record number of women of color, 35 Democrats and 3 Republicans. One of those women, Pramila Jayapal, is the first Indian American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives. Jayapal is a Democrat and will represent the 7th Congressional District in Washington State. She joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I want to first ask you, because you won't be surprised to hear that most of the attention over the last several days has been about the president-elect, Donald Trump, and not the new members of Congress. But how do you see what's shaping up to be the Trump administration at this point? Are you concerned about somebody like Steve Bannon being the chief strategist for the president?
I am very concerned. I think we were all taking a breath to hope that perhaps President Trump would be different than candidate Trump. And I think we were all hoping for the best. But as you look at the transition team, as you look at some of the names mentioned, Bannon, we've also got, I think, a number of folks who are lobbyists for oil and gas companies that are on the transition team, the EPA potential nominees. I think these are all really troubling signs for us as we look forward.
Are you going to try to stop any of his nominations?
Well, I think that's the next stage, is really to figure out exactly what our levers of power are, given that we're in the minority in both the House and the Senate. And I think that there's no question that there's going to be vigorous defense. Exactly what shape that takes, I think, is still to be seen.
What's your agenda going to be as you come in a party that is not in power in the House?
Well, it's definitely not the way I wanted to come in. You know, I come from one of the most liberal, progressive districts in the country. Washington 7th is where Seattle is. We, in our state, just passed a statewide minimum wage increase, paid safe and sick days. We passed gun reform legislation for the second time in 3 years. We have an agenda that obviously is very different than what we may be able to accomplish. That said, there is an economic piece to a lot of the work that I've been doing. And I think that resonates with all voters, including some of those that voted for Trump. If you look at Arizona, what you see is a really interesting story that's maybe a little bit more complex than some of what we've covered in the last couple of days. And that is a state that went for Trump, that kicked out Sheriff Joe Arpaio, something that I worked very hard on over the years, and also passed a statewide minimum wage increase. So I'm going to be looking for those opportunities to really address the needs of working families, whether it's increasing the minimum wage, whether it's an infrastructure package. Both of those are things that candidate Trump did speak about.
Right.
And I also think that we need to look at a lot of the issues that women in this country are facing, things like affordable child care and paid safe and sick days. Those are things, I think, where there might be some possibility to move. But I also think that we have to be very clear that we are going to have some major fights. And I've never been afraid of a fight. I'm certainly not backing down now to make sure that we protect constitutional rights and civil rights for all people.
And by the way, you mentioned Joe Arpaio. There's been some talk that he may end up in the Trump administration.
He is one of the ones that gives me such heartburn, you know, to even float his name as a possible DHS or immigration official in power is just horrifying to me. And Donald Trump, before he became a candidate, was not opposed to immigration reform. But who he surrounds himself with, who he puts on his short list, and who he puts on the transition team are very good indicators and of what he's going to be like as a president and who he's going to give power to. And that is of deep, deep concern.
You were endorsed by Bernie Sanders in your race. Do you think he would have won if he had run against Trump?
It's very hard to say. And, you know, we are not at that point anymore. I endorsed Bernie and Bernie endorsed me. I think many of those working people who either didn't vote or voted for Trump may have voted for Bernie Sanders. But I think the most important thing that we have to think about now is how do we bring that very strong working class message to people across this country and win back the hearts and minds of people, even as we're facing these deep, you know, rollbacks of some of the things we fought so hard for. So I think Senator Sanders' message and the work that I've been doing in my district and in my state is absolutely the agenda that we need to be pursuing in a very strong way. And we need to be standing up for that agenda unapologetically. And I think, you know, when you have a contradiction of, say, talking about, you know, being the party that fights for the working class, but then at the same time, you know, are not willing to take on trade policies that leave workers behind, or some of the populist things that both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders talked about in very different ways, then I think, you know, we have a problem. So we've got some work to do. I think we are going to have to regroup, and we're going to have to really look at how we address class, race, and gender, all of which were very present in this election.
On the other hand, there are some in your party who would say there's a risk of going too far to the left after this, because Democrats could be painted just as a party that will raise taxes to increase spending hugely on social programs.
That is always the argument against taking on really strong, and I'm not even going to call them progressive platforms, because frankly, I don't think that raising the minimum wage or even keeping it consistent with inflation over the last many years is something that should be considered progressive or radical. It is taking care of people and making sure that as our economy grows, that everybody gets to grow with it.
So I grew up in the Midwest, in the middle of Illinois, and for my entire life, I have had a lot of Indian American friends. They just have been in high school and college and beyond. And now, does it surprise you that you're the first Indian American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives, that there aren't already more?
Well, it's always a surprise to me how little diversity we seem to have in elected office. You know, I served as the only woman of color in the state Senate in Washington State, a state that is quite blue. It is an incredible honor. I'm so proud to be able to blaze this path and really show Indian American women across this country that they too have an opportunity, but not only Indian Americans. I mean, I think that there are so many different communities that need to be represented in politics. And I'm also proud that, you know, we're electing Vietnamese American women and Somali American women to the state legislature in Minnesota in that case. This is important not just because of what our skin color is, or because, you know, there's some outward experience, but because when we chair a hearing, when we craft legislation, when we listen to testimony and decide what is important and what isn't, our experience really does matter. And we do speak for a number of people who often are not at the table in the crafting of legislation.
That's Congresswoman-elect Pramila Jayapal of the 7th District in Washington, the first Indian American woman to be elected to the House of Representatives. Congresswoman-elect, thank you so much.
Thank you.